It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Egg Day at the Capitol is set for Wednesday when farmers and the agricultural industry assert priorities and discuss policy proposals with lawmakers. We get a preview, and you can be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jason Mugnaini is Executive Director of Governmental Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Jason, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. And a quick good morning to my daughter, Amelia, who I missed on my way to the office this morning. So I know she's listening. But thank you so much for having me and getting an opportunity to talk about Ag Day and some of agriculture's priorities here before the legislative session wraps up.
Well, let's dig in here. There's legislation aiming to allow health coverage benefits for farmers. How would Farm Bureau health plans better suit the needs of farmers and their families?
Sure. So this is a piece of legislation that, you know, we unfortunately had to bring out of a necessity where there's a plan that's operating in seven other states right now through their farm bureaus, because there's a circumstance under the way that the Affordable Care Act and the way that our farm businesses are set up that's kind of leaving farmers out of the equation. So this is a healthcare product that is a rated health plan, and it's not going to be a solution for everybody. But because farmers are in kind of a unique spot within their income because of the way that income is calculated, and then there's commodity volatility every single year, farmers are in this circumstance where in one year they might get a subsidy under the Affordable Care Act to be able to help pay for some of those premiums and make that affordable. But in the following year, you might have a really good year with your commodity prices, and then all of a sudden you're left out of the subsidy. So you have a moving target year after year with farm income that really hasn't met the needs of farmers. And because of that, you've got a lot of the smaller producers choosing to go uninsured, or what's really happening is a lot of families are saying, all right, it's you or it's me, and someone's got to go off the farm and go into town to get a job. And then, you know, they're not really making anything on that job. They're using that income to then turn around and pay for labor on the farm to come in. And that person's ultimately not going to be, provided benefits either. So we have a circumstance where there needs to be something else in the marketplace that could potentially help farmers. And we think like an organization like Farm Bureau could provide a tangible existing product as an option.
There are some organizations who oppose the bill, like the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance and the Wisconsin Farmers Union. They worry removing young and healthy people from the insurance pool would inflate insurance premiums for people who do use the Affordable Care Act marketplace. What is your response to that view?
Sure. And like I said, this is already existing in seven other states. Tennessee has been operating a plan since 1947. Kansas is probably our most recent plan, and they've really done a great job of onboarding their plan within theirs. And the reality of those kinds of concerns of impacts to the ACA marketplace just haven't really been borne out in other states. Iowa, our neighbor right here to the west, they actually took on a plan and they saw a 50% growth in their ACA marketplace, while they saw decreases in the total cost of their average benchmark plan. So we don't see those types of things bearing out in the same way. Where I think you're really going to see more of an impact of a Wisconsin Farm Bureau health plan in Wisconsin is really going to be people saying, all right, now I have an option that I can come back to the farm full time. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see people leaving employer-based care rather than somebody leaving the ACA. And the real hope that we get here out of all of this is that we get people who are uninsured, those people who are in rural areas who are saying, you know, I just don't need it. It's an expense that I don't need to incur. I'm a healthy person. Well, sure, you're healthy until you're not. And in an industry like farming, which is oftentimes somewhat dangerous or can be potentially dangerous, we want to make sure that those individuals are really the ones who are getting coverage. And if this is an affordable option that people think works for them, fantastic.
The legislation would allow health insurance providers to use a patient's health history to determine whether to provide coverage and how much coverage, and this strategy is intended to lower enrollees' costs. Could this type of provision allow enough room for discrimination at the sake of cost savings?
So we don't have to beat around the bush. What this really is we have to make sure that there's a way to provide cost savings. And the reality of this is when you have a comprehensive health product like Farm Bureau Health Plans, we cover everything from, you know, maternity services, preventative care, pre-cancer screenings, all of those types of things. There has to be a way in which you can come up with some sort of cost savings. And we do look at patients' prior health history, and in some rare circumstances, under 10% in all seven states that offer this plan, there have been some circumstances where they've denied coverage. Mm-hmm. The results of all of this, though, is that we're able to provide a product that's between 30 and 60% less expensive than an unsubsidized ACA plan. The reality of it is that the ACA is, you know, subsidized to 80-something percent, and, you know, we're never going to be able to compete with that. So you still have the vast majority of people who are going to be participating in that, staying in that pool. Where we actually see the impact of Farm Bureau health plans is reducing the amount of uninsured care that we're seeing in rural hospitals, and we actually were fortunate enough to have some representatives from Kansas Farm Bureau come to Wisconsin and testify before the Senate committee a week or so ago. And that was one of the things that they shared, is they're really seeing a reduction in rural uninsured care in Kansas. And we'd like to see that type of result here in Wisconsin as well.
Jason Muniaini is Executive Director of Governmental Relations at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. As we talk about policy and Ag Day at the Capitol this Wednesday, you can join in with questions and comments. 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jason, the Farm Bureau Federation worries about farmers losing their autonomy, and your group wants to limit more regulations on animal welfare and how animals are used. How could fewer restrictions keep Wisconsin farms at a competitive advantage?
Well, the number one name in the game is making sure that Wisconsin farmers have consistency, and that's both nationwide and on a statewide basis. There was a law that was passed via ballot initiative in the state of California in 2018 called Prop 12 that, if you're in agriculture, you're aware of it. But if you're not, what this has done is this has kind of created some animal welfare standards that were developed within California. But because California is a net importer of pork and veal and egg products, those standards were kind of placed on farmers in other states that would provide products to the California market. So there was a big lawsuit that resulted in the U.S. Supreme Court upholding California's right to impose those standards. But now we're seeing other states and local municipalities around the country try to impose some of these, you know, restrictions on agriculture, the result of which is going to create kind of a fractured commodity marketplace. And what we're concerned about here, and the reason that Assembly Bill 957, Senate Bill 952, what we're calling the Protect Our Farms Act, is before the legislature, is I think we have an opportunity to say, all right, let's make sure that if we're going to have a conversation about animal agriculture and the types of protocols that we want to see in Wisconsin, let's have that at the state level rather than having a fractured county by county or municipality by municipality circumstance that can really hyper impact, you know, a single individual farm. And I want to be clear about this legislation. None of this legislation is going to impact with the environmental requirements of what a farm is going to have to do. All of those things, nutrient management plans, CAFO permitting, all of those things will still be in place. This is really going to be related to animal welfare types of protocols. But one of the things that's unique that people aren't aware of is in animal agriculture, in livestock agriculture, 99.9% of milk that comes from, you know, any dairy in the United States has to go through an animal welfare program or be purchased through something called the Farm Program, which establishes animal welfare protocols. For pork, it's called the We Care Program. And they're into the 85 and 90 percentiles for the amount of pork that they're producing, going through those types of animal welfare programs. So you're already seeing the industry kind of do some of these animal welfare practices, but when you have kind of these very emotionally driven protocol ordinances, you can really result in some fractured circumstances where the regulatory requirements can differ municipality by municipality, and that increases challenges with transportation, with pricing, with cutting into margins and cutting into inputs, which can really have a detrimental effect on a operation like agriculture that's oftentimes kind of operating at the margins.
Well, let's just look for just a moment at CAFO's concentrated animal feeding operations. Wisconsin Watch has reported that opponents of the bill to limit further regulations on farms, like the Humane Society of the United States and Animal Wellness Action, and opponents say that the bill would limit local authority over farms and unravel safeguards against these large CAFOs. What is your response to that?
So, there hasn't been any circumstances where we've seen on an animal protocol ordinance here in the state of Wisconsin related to animal agriculture. So, this is really a preemptive thing to say if we're going to have these conversations, let's have them at the state level. What we're also concerned about is that some of our existing dairy farms, to be able to stay profitable and just in existence. Last year, we had over 400 dairies close. May have to grow a little bit. And as an attempt to potentially stop that growth, we've already seen circumstances where people will organize to try to potentially stop the growth of a farm and force them out of business by enacting just frivolous ordinances to impact them. I think that kind of falls into that as well. Those local controls in terms of zoning requirements, livestock siting, those are all still maintained within the current array of a local municipality's ability to, modify the things that are happening within their community. These are really specifically related to preventing things that would proliferate, that would kind of prevent an operation from doing the protocols necessary to meet the needs of their farms. And I've heard concerns that this is going to allow, worse outcomes for animal welfare. And I would actually attest that the opposite is the case, is that, a farmer's livestock, that's their well-being, that's their welfare, that's the product that they're selling. I'm hard pressed to think that Wisconsin agriculturalists and farmers would try to inhibit their own bottom line by not having high quality standards for their animals. And in Wisconsin, when you sell milk, that milk is sold by the components. It's sold by how good is your butter fat? What are your protein levels? How good is the quality of your milk? And those things come from healthy cows. So we want to make sure that we're providing a farmer's autonomy in consultation with their veterinarians to make appropriate things and not have that really be dictated by local government with maybe an ulterior agenda.
Jason Muniaini with us leads government and policy initiatives at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and ahead of Ag Day at the state capitol. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Hundreds of farmers and people who work in the agriculture industry, they're expected to turn out for Ag Day at the Capitol Wednesday. And we discuss legislation and policy priorities with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's Executive Director of Governmental Relations. And that is Jason Muniaini. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Jeff in Delafield with a question. Jeff, hi.
Yes, good morning. My concern, comment, question has to do with groundwater protections in Wisconsin. And I realize how difficult farming can be in tight margins and whatever else, but we have a groundwater problem in Wisconsin, as evidenced by wells contaminated with nitrates in the central part of the state, Lake Winnebago, with toxic algae blooms, trout streams being degraded. So what is the Farm Bureau's position on supporting legislature that will protect groundwater? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Jason, go ahead.
Jeff, really appreciate that question. I'm glad you brought this one up because I think it's a place where there's a lot of evolving things in this space that I think can really be beneficial. One of the first pieces is we've long been supporters of a piece of legislation that has been kind of stifled in the legislature for a while, but we want to provide some additional funding to kind of the well compensation program, specifically for those people who are impacted by nitrates. And I think that there's a you know, support for this, and we've seen this kind of piece of legislation in the legislature, and we're hopeful that we might be able to get it over the hump here at the end of the session. But that's certainly a concern. And I actually think that one of the real ways that we're going to be able to improve this is actually going to be through the use of technology. I think that there's a lot of opportunities in the future for not only just for agriculture, but for other industries like wastewater that, you know, provide biosolids that have some levels of contaminants that'll be able to filter that out and provide a more appropriate or a more filtered product to those who are land spreading those types of things. I was just recently in Utah at the American Farm Bureau annual meeting, and I was talking to some representatives from John Deere that were showcasing one of their really cool new products that I think is cool is a product that when it's a planter, and then when the seed hits the ground, they've timed it so that a very tiny little spritz of fertilizer hits that seed right as it hits the ground, and that's able to reduce fertilizer costs for farmers, but additionally, fertilizer in general, by 60%. But I think that there's something that we need to have as a larger conversation with just farm consolidation, the, you know, tight margins that farming has right now, to be able to try to connect the gap of the technology gap between large and small producers. And that's something that we're going to be working on, hopefully, here in the next year, to be able to really connect that gap with technology for small producers. And I think that that's really going to have an impact. Additionally, we have great programs in Wisconsin. We're actually one of the leaders in the country in terms of our uptake for small producers to be engaged in nutrient management planning. Great programs like the producer-led watershed grants just got expanded, and an additional money has been allocated to them in the state budget so that they can really do innovative projects to help reduce their runoff and improve runoff controls for things like phosphorus, nitrates, et cetera.
Do you think there's good uptake on that? Will farmers go after those types of grant efforts?
Well, we've been working really diligently, and we actually have a staff member here on staff at Wisconsin Farm Bureau who's focused on that exact thing, trying to improve sustainable farming practices. And I think that there's some really innovative things with the future of like alternative credit markets, carbon, and one in Wisconsin that I'm really proud of that we're just starting to get going, but I think has the potential to be a really great economic improvement for farmers, as well as a way for other people to comply with their permit requirements for wastewater, is we have a trading clearinghouse. So farmers can actually take on a land practice to improve their runoff outcomes and then sign that contract and have it paid for by, you know, somebody who has a WPDS permit or a wastewater permit to comply with their requirements, which the end result would be more of phosphorus coming out of waters because of the improvement of that land practice. And that has to be done on a certain basis where more would be coming out than would be going in. But this is kind of in its infancy now. We're starting to get more and more farmers set up, and more, you know, water quality trades are happening. But I'm excited about the opportunity of expanding this so that third parties, just the way that you see carbon credits purchased now, could happen on water quality basis here in Wisconsin. And that would provide a secondary income to farmers, but also allow large corporations to purchase water quality offset credits so that they can look like they're improving their water quality as well. And I think everybody wins in those types of circumstances. So this is something we're paying very close attention to. And our farmers in Wisconsin, we have a much higher adoption rate of nutrient management plans. And I'm really focused on on improving nutrient management plans within our non-point farms, our smaller farms, just because I think that we have a great program in farmland preservation that incentivizes that, and we just got an uptake for that, an increase in those credits this past legislative cycle. So future adoption of those types of things, I really think will have an impact in the long run.
Jason Muniaini with us, Executive Director of Governmental Relations at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Jason, just in a moment here, we only have about a minute left. Your group encouraging expanding the ability of DACA recipients to obtain job credentials from the state. What do you seek here?
So this is actually kind of an interesting one. I read this piece of legislation at first, and I kind of just put it out of sight, out of mind. I think it's great that the DACA recipients would be able to get professional credentials at what I think were the original intent of the bill was at DSPS. But as I started to think more about it, there are professional credentials within agriculture that hey, you have to go through DATCAP to get. So had a conversation with Secretary Romanski's office, and they very quickly got back to me and said, yes, somebody who is a DACA recipient under this piece of legislation, which would authorize them to get credentials in food safety, food labeling, inspections of meat facilities, those types of things. And that's really what in our food supply chain is that's one of the places where we're seeing kind of a backstop of the inspections, the safety requirements, those types of things that are kind of holding up food sometimes and resulting in a little bit of unnecessary food waste just because of the availability of those individuals. So for the people who are DACA recipients in Wisconsin, I think this is a great piece of legislation that Representative John Mocco has been working on to help, alleviate some of the stress within the food supply chain and find individuals who would be able to serve in those roles. I think it's a great opportunity.
Jason, thank you for joining us.
Oh, always a pleasure. Love coming on here and chatting about anything agriculture. And if you're listening and you're a farmer, make sure you make it down to Ag Day in the Capitol on Wednesday at Monona Terrace.
Jason Muniaini is with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, and you're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.